Okay, it's going to be 8/17/2003, approximately 0030 hours. This will be an interview with Sergeant Richards, Paul Richards, ID number 2565, reference officer involved shooting, report number 03-23745. Okay, why don't you just take me from the point, you know, notification of the call, you know, what when you found out what was going on, where you were, how you got here, and what happened once you got here.
Okay. My first notification of the call was they put out shots fired, officer involved, shots fired. I was at station 13. I'd just gone there, stopped by, ran out, proceeded to roll code from station 13 to Spring in LA, or Spring in Tierra Rajada here. When I arrived at Spring in Tierra Rajada, there was two units on scene that I saw. The two X-ray unit and the 4 Frank 51 unit. Okay. 4 Frank 51 officer, Deputy Ron Paul, was there at the scene. He said the guy had shots fired at him, he had a handgun, and that he was currently down in the ravine or went down in the field just south of Tierra Rajada from Spring. Being a small city out here, we have three city units. Anyway, so I helped set up the perimeter. I went over and set up on the west side over here, or correction, the east side of the field, located on Moore Park, just south of Tierra Rajada here. I then coordinated other units as they came in. We had other extra units from the county and from TO. They responded. Set up the perimeter, tightened it up, got the air unit out here, got a K-9 from CME, got additional units from CME and CHP. Air unit flew around for about 20 or so minutes, spotted a couple hot objects. We had Frank 2 unit, which was set up on the southern perimeter to look at some of the objects. They turned out to be rocks mostly. Long story short is, ran out of objects to look at, had to send in an entry team. At that particular point, I moved my command post from Moore Park, south of Tierra Rajada, brought it over here, because I knew we were going to be going in over here. I then started redeploying different units and to alleviate some of my long guns so they could come in for the search. On my board, I have all the names and unit numbers that went in on the search. I believe there was two canines, one from ours, Sedgwick, and one Simi Valley. Simi Valley handler did not take his dog. He just helped with this, our handler. We had a cuff team and a two-man cuff team, and the other, I think it was three or four long guns went in there. I think it was a total of six or seven people. Because of the lack of personnel, you know, like I said, small city, my shooters, my initial shooters were also on that search team. So they went in there. They located the suspect in a gully on a concrete barranca, which explains why the FLIR didn't work, because concrete had sucked up all the heat just like the rocks did. And it was masking his position. Locate him. They asked for additional light. Myself and a CHP unit over there, I don't recognize his name, but he's already been talked to. Anyway, I told him, come with me, took a flashlight, went over there. We started walking down to give them an additional light that they needed. As soon as I went down, I saw that they were cuffing up the suspect. I then immediately told my two shooters, okay, you guys are out of here. You guys go on up to the car. I had Deputy Ron Paul, 4 Frank 51. He stood by with the officers until he was relieved, and ultimately they were sent back to Station 10. Skipped one part in there. Prior to sending in the search team, this was the first opportunity I had to actually talk to one of the shooters. Prior to that, they were actually on the perimeter up in here because we didn't have enough units. So I actually talked to them, specifically Deputy Alvarez, and he told me what went down, how they were trying to stop the vehicle coming southbound on Spring, how he TC'd in the intersection, then took footbail over the barricade there. They went in foot pursuit. He was down at the bottom of the ravine hiding his hands. They gunned him. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. They told him something to the effect of, don't let me see your hands. We're going to shoot you. Let me see your hands. And then they said that he said, fine, go ahead and shoot me. And then he pulls up what appeared to be a gun. And then they fired, each of them, multiple rounds. They didn't know how many. Or Damien said they didn't know how many. So when I was down there, after I had already relieved the two shooters, this guy's very coherent, conscious, talking. He had appeared to have a wound on his right hand, which he had wrapped up. He had other blood on his chest, but we couldn't see where the wound was. The CHP officer had gloves on. He was actually doing the first aid, trying to figure out, you know, where can we put direct pressure. I saw an exit wound on his helmet where it appeared to be coming out from this side, hair, scalp. Don't know where the entry wound was. Don't know if, and considering his consciousness, it looked like it traveled around the scalp and just yanked out a bunch of the hair when it exited. Go for Sam 16. So 9. Sorry. It's benefit of...
They take a break in the interview at approximately 12:38 hours. All right, approximately 0039 hours, and we'll be back into the interview.
Okay. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Okay, so anyway, so we're down there. I've already told the officers, okay, you guys are out of here. Ron Paul's babysitting them. He's making sure that they're taken care of. And we start talking to the guy, very coherent. He's talking. He's drunk as a skunk. I started my tape recorder. Actually, I tried to start it. I noticed that it was at the end of the tape. Flipped it over, started my tape recorder. I also made sure that Strussoff, senior deputy, he started his tape also. Anyways, I asked him, hey, I'm thinking this guy's going to die. He's got a head wound like that. But why'd you do it? Why did he, you know, why did he run? Why did he said he ran, I believe he said, because he was drunk. I think I'd have to refer to the tape. But I specified, where's the gun? He said, I didn't have a gun. I go, why'd you make him think you had a gun? Because I wanted them to shoot me. So you wanted to die? No, I didn't actually think they would, but I held up my finger and pointed it at them, and they shot me. So you intentionally did that? Yeah. So Strussoff continued with his tape. I got everybody else out of there. Fire was on scene. They started working on him. Got our people out of there. Strussoff then was transported with him in a helicopter, and he's still out there at the hospital with him. And then it turned into this.
Okay. Let me just go over a couple things really quick. So you were at Moorpark PD when you heard the call of the shots fired, is that correct?
Yeah, I just stopped there to use the restroom.
Okay. And then you responded immediately to the scene, and when you arrived here, you said there were two units here.
Yeah.
The flat top, which is...
Two X-ray.
The two X-ray unit. And who was manning that unit?
There was nobody at that unit.
Well, I mean, I know who was riding in that unit tonight is what I was going to say.
The two, Deputy Cargnell and Deputy Alvarez.
Okay. And then you said that Rumpal's unit was also here, and those were the only two units that were on scene at that time. Because there's four cars in the crime scene right now.
Yeah, the cars were moved there after the fact.
Right.
The other two cars that are there now are my car,
right,
and then the two boy car. Both cars were moved there prior to the search team being sent in.
Okay.
I had to coordinate all the bodies and pull them in. So they were moved there at that time.
Okay. So when you first got on scene here, prior to redeploying over to the south of Tierra Hot on Moorpark Road,
right,
where did you see Alvarez, Damien, and Cargnell? Where were they all at?
They were not there.
Okay.
Alvarez and Cargnell were not there. My belief is that they were set up on a perimeter already on the north side. The person I saw and talked to...
On the north side or on the west side?
North, south, west side, forgive me. Looking in the wrong direction. On the west side, on Tierra Hada, just west of Spring. The person I saw and the person I talked to, who gave me a briefing of what went down and where the suspect was located, was Ron Paul, or Frank 51. I remember seeing the two units. Could there have been three? I suppose. I don't think so, though.
Okay.
I mean, I was concentrating on what he was saying so I could get the perimeter set up so we didn't lose him.
So when you arrived on scene, where is it that you stopped and had this conversation?
I pulled right around through here, probably where my unit's parked right now. I just pulled right through. Okay. I rolled down my passenger window. What's going on, Mike? Okay, the shooting. And he told me about the shooting. He's in the gully. We've got to set up a perimeter. And then I helped set up the perimeter.
And where was Ron Paul?
He was standing at the trunk area of his unit.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. And then you went down there, set up, and then the helicopter came up, looked, didn't really see anything, got the canines on scene, search party was going to be deployed, and that's when you came back up into this area here and parked your unit where we see it now?
Exactly.
Okay.
Which was probably 45 minutes, half hour into it.
Okay.
At least 45.
Okay. And then when the search team... actually went down into the ravine area. You did not go with them initially.
No, I was okay. I was the EIC.
Okay, and it wasn't until, if I understand this correctly, and if obviously if I'm mistaken, please correct me, it wasn't until after you had heard that they had located the suspect that you actually started down into that ravine area.
Right, what I heard was suspect located in the ravine, they needed light. So the helicopter was trying to give them as much light, but helicopters move a lot, light was going everywhere, they needed light. And the helicopter wasn't able to supply their needs.
Okay.
Thank you very much. So I said, okay, you know, I have my light here. The closest other backup weapon was the CHP officer. So I said, okay, come with me, cover me. He's not secured yet, and they need light to cuff this boy up. Okay. So I went over.
Okay. And that's the same CHP officer that was starting to administer the first aid. Okay. Now, the conversation that you had with Alvarez, I'm a little confused. When exactly did that take place? Was that after what happened in the gully or before?
Right before the search.
Oh,
right,
okay.
Before the search team went in.
Okay. And now when you spoke with Alvarez, did you talk to Carnell about what happened?
No, he hadn't come back yet.
Okay.
He was in the process of coming back. I did not talk to Carnell.
All right. But both those guys were part of the search team?
Yes, they were.
Okay.
Out
all
of
right.
sheer necessity.
Okay. And the search team, was it organized right in
yes.
and around your unit area?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And then you went down and you had this brief conversation with the suspect as far
yes.
as what transpired.
Yes.
Having knowledge of what Alvarez had told you prior
right.
to that. Okay.
I was trying to get a dying declaration, I believe, seeing that head wound that I didn't think he was
okay.
going to make it.
Okay. Now, have you reviewed the contents of your tape at
haven't
all?
I haven't looked at it.
Okay. All right.
I know during one point it malfunctioned, the tape, because I had to restart
right.
it. I don't know what it's on, but I made sure that Strefloff was also taping it, so he also got the whole thing.
Okay. Now, your conversation with Alvarez,
mm-hmm.
Did he indicate to you where either he and or Carnell were when they fired these rounds at the suspect?
Well, obviously, because the suspect wasn't in custody, we weren't going to...
Right.
Yeah, but he said, he told me basically what was going on, how they had been at the top of the hill, they had shot down in it.
Okay.
I felt comfortable that because of the angle going downward
right.
and in a ravine, that we didn't have any, plus limited housing over there with the hills the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
I felt safe that there wasn't any additional rounds downrange to worry about.
Right, but I'm just saying, did he indicate where they were? You said that they were shooting down the hill, so did they say they were at the top of the hill, halfway down the hill?
They didn't specify. My belief, based on the way he described it, is that as the guy went over the hill, they ran up behind him, stopped at the edge of the hill, not wanting to go
okay.
down, and then ordered him, let me see your hands, not because that was their only source of concealment, was at the rim of the hill. Did he articulate that specifically? No.
Okay.
But that's what I believe he was telling me.
Okay. And again, you only spoke with Alvarez about this and not Carnell.
Yes.
Okay. And Alvarez was the one that told you that both of them had fired multiple rounds.
He said they both had fired multiple rounds.
Okay, but wasn't certain of
how many. Yeah, he didn't know how many.
Fired.
I asked,
okay.
Do you know how many? He goes, no, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Did you, after you had this conversation with the suspect, did you remain down in the ravine area, or did you come back up?
I was in the ravine until fire went down there.
Okay.
Stress off. I told him to stay, make sure he kept his tape running. I left. There's too many people down there.
Mm-hmm.
We were just tripping over each other.
Okay.
So I got the rest of the officers out of there.
Okay. And then you returned back to your unit to coordinate the rest of the response to
yeah.
the scene? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Is there anything else you can think of?
Not right now, but... Tomorrow, I'm sure I'll think of
okay.
a couple things.
All right. Do you have a listing over at your car reference, who was on the search team? Did
yes.
you happen to document all that stuff?
Yeah, it's written down on the board right there.
Why don't we take a walk over there and just get the names down?
Okay,
so
the
know.
Reason why we originally sent seven people, the reason why it was seven is actually we're going to send two teams in, four each.
Mm-hmm.
So I was looking for an extra body. Then the canine handler said, it's not a problem, let's just go ahead and use my dog, that way the dogs don't compete against each other. So we already had seven people there, so we just said, everybody go, and we set up the cuff team. These are the people that went in. Had Edward King, 2 X-ray, 9, Robert, the CME canine, without his dog.
Okay.
2 X-ray, 1. 2 X-ray, 1 is Alvarez, and 2 X-ray is Cardinal.
Okay.
And then 2 boy, which is Rourke, John 41, which is Miller, I believe, 9 Robert, which is Stresshoff.
Okay.
So two seniors, And then two shooters, two canines, and then one of my other people. Everybody had ARs.
Okay, all right. And then,
except for the my canine.
Okay, and then I think you had, when we were talking, had indicated that they approached.
They came in from the west side
and went east side. Okay, all right.
We directed the helicopter to light it up, make an announcement about the dog coming in prior to going in. They did that, and they started working their way in. And within a minute of walking in there, they'd located the suspect on the concrete gully.
Okay, all right. Okay, anything else you can think of?
Right now.
Okay, we're going to end the interview then at approximately 12:48 hours. This will be approximately 0052 hours. We're going to be back in the interview real quick. Just for the record, I took the audio tape that Sergeant Richards had made regarding his conversation with the suspect down in the ravine. The only question that I had for you for clarification purposes is the helmet that you had described the suspect having.
Yes.
Did you see that up here or down in the ravine where he was located, taken in custody?
He was wearing it in the ravine.
Okay.
When we were down there.
Okay, he actually had it on his head.
Yeah, he was wearing it. In fact, like I mentioned, we left as soon as, or I got as much of the officers out of there as I could, except for Strelzhoff, when the fire got down there because of so many people. When fire saw it, you know, we explained the injuries that we saw, and we told him about the helmet. They tried to take it off. He says he didn't want them to take it off. He was afraid of what they were going to find because he knew he'd been hit there. He told us that he was hit in the head. So last I saw, they were in the process of taking it off.
Okay.
Never saw him take it off. Don't know what happened to him.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good then. Okay. And we'll be done with the interview at approximately 0053 hours.